As humans, we are pretty good at overestimating the short impact, but underestimating the long run. I think we need to start looking at what realistically this technology is going to be able to do in the next 20, 30 years.
Get ready to jumpstart your week with the FCAT Crypto Brief, brought to you by the Fidelity Center for Applied Technology. Join us as we delve into the hottest topics, from blockchain breakthroughs to DeFi revolutions and market happenings. We promise to go deeper than the headlines and deliver market insights you can't get just anywhere. Be sure to hit subscribe for your bi-weekly dose of crypto commentary. Quick disclaimer, we're here for education, not investment advice. Views expressed are of the hosts, not Fidelity or its affiliates. Crypto's a wild space, highly volatile, can become illiquid anytime, and is strictly for those with a high risk tolerance. Buckle up, enjoy the ride, and let's dive into what's been happening recently.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the FCAT Crypto Brief. I'm Matt Allen, and today I'm joined by Max Waddington and Jason Ward. And we have a very exciting guest, Alejandro Gutierrez from the Super Team Ireland. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Really, really excited, Matt. Thank you very much.
We are very excited to have you, Alejandro. Now, for our listeners, could you just give a bit of background on yourself, what you do and what you're focused on?
Yeah. So I am at the moment the founder and the lead of Super Team Ireland. I will probably give a little bit more context of what Super Team Ireland is later on the session. But I have been around 8 years in the space. I started in the tokenization space on real world assets. And I've done the lot on it, multiple entrepreneur in the space, but also with a big focus on building community that I believe is one of the most important parts, right? To just get the implementation of this technology and just make it count and make a big impact in society, right? So I had the chance to work on really early. Tokenizing traditional financial products like trade finance and supply chain finance with the likes of MakerDAO, Centrifuge, Securitize, etc. And also co-founding communities like ETH Dublin. That was the largest hackathon and conference here in Ireland for many years. And last year we had the chance to just bring Vitalik Buterin, the founder of the Ethereum. And now just working more and more with the Solana ecosystem and just bringing a lot of that interest of that blockchain in Ireland.
That is excellent. And Alejandro, I've been fortunate enough to get to know you over the last several years based on all the work that FCAT does with our teams in Ireland. And when you talk about the community building, I think it's really important for our listeners to understand that the community building is often grassroots, but it requires cultivation in order to grow. And from my understanding of your experiences and my getting to know you, you've been a major part and catalyst of what has grown the Ireland digital asset ecosystem, blockchain ecosystem. So could you talk just a couple moments about what it's like trying to bring together, I'll say, people of common interest that are at different points in their journey, in many ways, trying to help develop an industry within a country?
Yeah, that's a good point. And Ireland is a bit unique as well in that sense, because as you know, Ireland is a country that is heavily dominated by institutions. So a lot of the time what happens is that the community building just gets relegated into institutions and whatever institutions can do instead of actually just, as is in most of the places around the world, it's grassroots, and then you have like SME scale-ups, institutions, and then around government and the other entities that are required to just build a really vibrant ecosystem. So in here was the opposite. And in a way, what we have to do was just turn that pyramid upside down and start just cultivating from the grassroots. What happens there? You need discipline. Like this is a discipline exercise, and it's just making people comfortable with the fact that they don't know, but there is a lot of people that know and are more than happy to just tell them how it is. And what we have done, especially now with Super Team Ireland, it was just creating a discipline that every single Friday we're going to meet, and we're going to just provide a space for people to just get together, doesn't matter what, and something that was pretty important, and this is part of the ethos as well of the blockchain space. So people are really collaborative, and there people are always happy just to sit down and talk. Doesn't matter the question that you have, or doesn't matter at what level you are, from like a heavy technical questions that people will be more than happy to answer. And if they don't know, they will just pass, I know someone. And then there is that someone that comes. Like, I think that culture is always there, and is something that is still 10 years into this journey in the crypto space is still there. Like, you will always have answers from people, and people are always willing to just help and sit down, right? Let's put it away. It's like we're trying to evangelize the rest of the tech community to come in here. And that's something I think we have done well. We have done well in the crypto space in the last probably 5 years. It has been tough, but now we're starting seeing actually like the benefits, and we're starting seeing a lot of results coming from all those early stages.
It's interesting to hear you talk about it, because to me, it seems very organic, and it in many ways reflects how the digital asset and crypto ecosystem itself evolved. You know, people getting together, common ideas, maybe, you know, offshoots of those ideas, building new things to try and test out, but a lot of people learning from each other. So I think of it, from an industry perspective or an organizational perspective, a lot of times people experience organized learning where the learning is delivered to them. Whereas what you're describing is very much the opposite, which is a learning organization. And I would say in some respects, it's loosely coupled organization, but you've been able to take in, foster those early roots and actually cultivate quite a strong network. And my impression has been when I've been visiting, whether it's the Solana super team or folks in Blockchain Ireland, or just generally the innovation ecosystem in Europe, it seems to me that everyone's second job is as a super connector. And they're just making the networks happen. So it's like you've got the technical networks, but the human networks are even more important.
Yeah, I think people are trying to connect to other humans. And that's a big reality. Like, why people are coming here on Friday when they can work from home? Why are they making that effort? And the reality is because, well, we want that human contact. We want to just know other people that have similar views from what we have, or that have similar interests. And a lot of times those spaces do not really exist. So I think having that physical presence that created those spaces is critical just to build communities. That's the reality. And the other one is, as you said, like there is a method to the madness. Like we have a clear framework of how we're doing things. But for example, we are not going to just come and tell people, okay, this is the way that you need to learn. This is like, because we will be excluding a lot of people, right? Like, okay, you're not technical enough. You're going to feel excluded. Does not make any sense. What we do well is just have some topics, or like, let's say some sessions that everybody can benefit from. And when they want to deep dive more, they can do so. And they can do that as well with the peers that are working with them or they are next to them, right? Like, I think it's just giving them the chance as well for them to explore instead of us pushing it. I think in communities, when you get pushy, people think that you are selling something. When they believe that you are selling something to them, they are not interested and they will be out. Like, I think that learning needs to be organic and needs to be at their own pace. And when they are ready, they will be just come and say, like, look, I'm ready. What is the next stage? I want to look for a job in this industry. I have an idea. I want to build this idea. So it's just providing all the tools, all the resources, and just helping them, right? Nurture them, be with them. That's probably one of the key components.
I think personally that acceptance is like a pretty deep-rooted culture trait in digital assets, because everybody's kind of here for their own personal interests. And you'll see a lot of passion. One thing that kind of stuck out with me, Alejandro, is, you know, joining the space, it can be a little daunting. A lot of events are tailored towards people that are more technical or developers. I'm curious how you foster, you know, community among roles and people outside of the developer community. Because to build a strong business, there's so many other roles that are required and skill sets outside of the developer community.
Agree. And I think that has been changing dramatically. Like you would have asked me this question 5 years ago, I would say, yeah, it's difficult. And trying to bring that people, you needed to be more thoughtful on what you were going to be offering to them. Like, but I believe we already passed that stage that 90% of everything that was built was infrastructure. 10 years ago, 90% of everything that was built in the space was infrastructure, which means that you needed to be techie or at least have a deep understanding of the technology in order to understand what was happening or even being involved in a project, right? Now we're at a different stage, as you mentioned. Now we're building applications on top of that infrastructure and that network layer that require marketeers, that require operational people, that requires UI UX, critical. This is probably the most critical skill set that we need in the space still. I know people sometimes don't like when I made these comments, but it's true. We still need it. Like, it's still not an easy task to just go into a decentralized exchange and request a loan, things like that, right? And funny enough, I think with AI coming into play as well, a lot of the technical and development piece is getting easier to get. Like, for me, it will be harder to find a good operational person that has a good understanding of digital assets than probably a developer.
I have some personal thoughts on how AI kind of intersects with digital assets. So does that mean would you say it's becoming more difficult to find talent and people that are passionate about the industry or easier over the past year or so?
I think the talent pool is bigger, but at the same time, there are more and more projects coming. The talent pool is not growing at the same rate. Let's put it that way. Like, how many years you will need for an operational person to understand properly digital assets, understand what the risks are, understand what is the governance that is required? It takes years. Like, is it something that you cannot do a 6 months deep dive and suddenly understand digital assets and have an operational background, which means I'm fully qualified to be an operational person in a digital asset space? It does not work like that. So I think that's something that we need to actually be conscious about it, because if we want to properly scale the space, we need to have the resources and the talent. And a lot of the times we don't. There's a lot of people portraying themselves as experts in the space with tons of gaps, right? And you have a lot of people from the traditional financial sector, for example, coming into the digital assets, portraying themselves as experts on it. But when you go and deep dive into, okay, explain me how you're mitigating risk for XYZ, and you will see the faces of the people like, oh, actually, no, I never considered these things. It's a challenge. It's a big challenge. Yeah.
Big challenge. And we've oftentimes our teams will talk about the fact that if you're not learning, then you're in trouble, because there's so much to learn that no one can keep pace. You know, one of my own thoughts is that, you know, AI might help people get a summary understanding of some new concept, but practical application takes a lot more, whether it's the coding side or building out the operational risk components. You know, I talk to folks who are operating large digital asset businesses, and at times they can turn around and say, well, you know, I wish I was doing more innovation, but the demand to make sure that everything is mechanically and regulatory, I'll say tight, that the controls are designed and executed consistently, that's the focus. So I think, to your point, Alejandro, and Max, I'm glad you asked the question, that the diversity of talent that you need is evolving based on the maturity of the underlying infrastructure and then the applications and functional markets that we build on top of the technology. Alejandro, I sort of thought of your comment about the talent pool growing, but the need growing faster, as sort of like the expanding universe of digital assets, if you will.
And there is something as well that is really important to tell. There are some industries that are soaking talent at a dramatic rate, like AI, for example. Like, we live that in Dublin, right? Like, for example, like, we want to attract more and more talent that is outside the Web3. Like, if you ask me, we probably have everybody in the Web3 space in Ireland. Or like 95% of them, they have something to do with us, with Super Team Ireland, let's put it, right? But I want to attract the rest of the crowd, that they are not there yet, that they could be really relevant for the ecosystem. But I have to compete with Google. I have to compete with Microsoft. I have to compete with OpenAI now, with Claude, with all these big mammoths, right? So fact is like, okay, how are we going to be attracting more and more of that crowd that can just bring a lot of interesting skill sets to the industry?
Yeah, it's certainly a challenging problem. And I'm curious how you think about going about tackling that problem, especially with Super Team, right? Because as you mentioned, the Googles, the Metas, the Microsofts, they're probably quite competitive on the salary, the compensation side of things. But are there other aspects that as an industry, digital assets can bring to help attract talent and develop that interest?
The way we approaching these, right, is it's like a Trojan horse. You get them in, and then when they're in, they don't even realize they're in, and then it's too late for them to go. But like what happened with digital assets or like the whole space is that there are a lot of social transformations in what we do that are really interesting for people. Let's say payments is one of them, right? Because when you are an expat, right, that had the issue of sending funds to your parents or to somebody else around the globe, and you have to wait 5 days, and then they take a commission of 1% or 2%, right? Then people are starting to realize like, oh, wow, okay, this is a big problem that can be solved with this technology. Maybe there is a chance here. Or to what was happening in South America, in Latin America, with the problems with currency, that people were sending funds, and suddenly 2 weeks after, those funds had lost 20% because the fluctuation in the currency or the valuation was so heavy that they didn't have any chance. So families were losing all their funds, they're losing all their savings, and people starting just building solutions towards that. That's something that this technology can bring that a lot of the other companies will not. Just a chance to solve real problems. Because there's a lot of people in these big companies that are completely the same franchise what they do, and they are there because they're still getting paid extremely well, but there is no attachment or passion of what they are doing. So that's one way that we can play just to attract that people.
And Alejandro, I love how you bring it back to the real world experience. So, you know, they say a necessity is the mother of invention. And we see all different people from various experiences and past that come into the digital asset ecosystem for their own reasons. And then they wind up continuing to grow and develop appreciation for broader perspectives. And one of the things I would love to hear more about from your perspective is, you know, you've founded Super Team Ireland, and you're working to help educate people and support people who are trying to build real functional capabilities. Some could be businesses, some could be capabilities. In other cases, they're trying to advance the technology for different reasons. I'd love to hear you talk about the Super Team concept and how it relates to the Solana ecosystem generally, the Solana Foundation, and frankly, talk more about what the Super Team Ireland organization is doing to help promote the acceleration of people's learnings and opportunities to grow businesses?
That's a great question. And I think Solana Foundation had, because the way that Super Team's word concept is amazing, I think they realized that there is a better chance to succeed at the grassroots level when you have somebody that knows the ecosystem and that have that passion for the ecosystem. And giving them the chance for them to actually develop their own plan, right? Like, I think that's critical. You can have some sort of framework of what the strategy is, but the people that are deep there are the ones that they need to craft, like, how this is going to be implemented, what works, what doesn't work, because what works in Nigeria does not work sometimes in Ireland, what it works in Ireland doesn't work in India, et cetera, et cetera. And if you ask me, I believe Super Teams have been one of the main reasons why the Solana ecosystem keeps growing at the rate that it's growing. So there were like some statistics later last year that Solana now has more developers than Ethereum, which is, this conceptually is really interesting, right? Because even from the technology perspective, you're talking about Solidity, that is a language that is way easier to learn than Rust. Rust is a bit more complex. Yeah, it gives you a big broader opportunities on what you can develop, and you can develop more complex things. But from the learning perspective, it's more difficult. And the ecosystem has just passed that problem and saying like, look, we have more developers now than Ethereum, which is pretty interesting. And I believe that, so to give you a little bit of statistics, there are 28 super teams right now around the world. And I think that gives a lot of power to the people that are part of super teams, because suddenly we have a worldwide network of opportunities that are at the hands of everybody that is part of the Solana ecosystem, and in particular, people that are part of super teams, so that are super team members. That's great. I don't think any chain has that level of coordination, right? A good example of it, we have here a project, the guys from Adrena, they are a Perdex in the Solana ecosystem, and they realized that probably 40% of all the people they were interacting with, or that was interacting with the platform, they were coming from Korea and Japan. So, well, let's contact Super Team Japan and Super Team Korea. Let's see what we can do. And within 2 weeks, they have KOLs, they have marketing in place in Korean, in Japanese. They have front ends in Korean, in Japanese. And that's something that I don't think many chains are going to be able to offer you at that speed either, right? I think that's important, is the speed that super teams move exactly the same as a startup. We move at that speed as well. We're as nimble as a startup, and that adds a lot of value. And that's something that could not be possible if was inside Solana Foundation, for example. You were asking me about Super Team Ireland. 7th of April this year was our first anniversary. We have an ecosystem of around 1,500 people now in Ireland. And we actually cover the whole island. It's the North and the Republic, which is great, because Belfast and Northern Ireland has, there is a lot of talent that has not been explored. And the proof of that was the winners of, one of the winners of Coliseum, that is the largest startup competition in the world, a team from Belfast called Mention. And that was a massive achievement for us, because we had a big bet on going after Dublin, going to Belfast, and betting on Belfast as the second place or the second city where we're going to just extend a super team, has paid dramatically. Like having these guys winning, it was just everything we needed to know. I was like, okay, we need to double down our efforts in the North. We have worked with more than 100 teams in Ireland as well, which is crazy if you ask me, and more than 150 events in Ireland in around 16 months. 5,000 people have attended those events. And those numbers were numbers that if you would have asked me 2 years ago, I would never thought that was going to be possible. But clearly say, like, look, we have the talent, we have the willingness of people, we have the interest. And I think what this proves is when you have the support, like Solana Foundation, you guys that have been like since day one supporting the Irish ecosystem in the space, and I don't think you are recognized as much as you should, because you guys should. We have been doing things now for what, 4 years probably together, and you guys have been the biggest contributors and supporters in the blockchain ecosystem, you ask me. So when going back to my point, like if you have the support, we can just create this ecosystem. We can help and make these dreams come true. We want that for Ireland. We want Ireland to be that place that is recognized as a world hub for Web3, for digital assets. And we have everything as well to make it happen.
I can't believe it's just over a year old. I actually have in front of me a sticker that you guys were giving out at Blockchain Ireland when you probably had just launched, if that's right, because it was in May of 2025. That is very impressive. So we talk a lot about impact, reach and impact. And clearly in a relatively short amount of time, you've been able to have wide reach, that the impact is growing. You've tapped into a rich vein, if you will, little reference to mining there. But Alejandro, you're also still working on bringing more opportunity forward. And one of the things I've been seeing online a lot, and we've talked a little bit about, is this concept of Castle DAO, which is coming up. Could you just tell us a little bit about what you're planning there for this super team sponsored event?
Yeah, so Castle DAO is a 2-week residency that we are crafting around giving the chance for builders to get a space that is constructed just for building. That's it. Forget about anything else, any worry that you have. You will have a space that you can wake up at whatever time during the day go there, work, you're going to be fed, you're going to be water, and you're going to have the support from mentors, from other people in the ecosystem in order to just make the most out of those 2 weeks. What happens with the crypto space, there is a lot of events and you have tons and tons of events, but there's not many places where people can build together. I love this phrase from Richard Murphy, that is like innovation is a contact sport. And that's so true, because you cannot innovate by yourself. So you're going to be put top talent from the tech ecosystem in a castle for 2 weeks. I'm so excited what is going to come out of that. As a concept, is amazing. It came as a joke in the beginning when we're starting just like bouncing ideas. And the fact that we're going to be hosting this in Slane Castle makes it even more interesting. And for the people that are not aware, Slane Castle is probably the most iconic castle in whole Ireland. It's a place where U2 recorded a whole album. And thank you very much, because you guys are going to be part of this, Jason. And we're extremely excited. Extremely, extremely excited.
I think it's great. And you know, for those who may not know, Richard Murphy is our head of the innovation ecosystem in Europe. But I also appreciate his phrase of innovation being a contact sport. And a lot of times what I think about is you've got to have the right environment. And it seems to me that, you know, hackathons are great and we get people together, we work on sprints, maybe people are extending something they've been working on for a long time. But this concept of a couple of weeks of creating the physical space and attracting complementary talents, I think is going to be really interesting to see the output from that. So, you know, you've got the right environment. Sounds like you've got some really interesting participants and look forward to seeing what comes from it.
And one thing that we decided is not just for crypto people. We're extending this to tech people. And the reason behind is because, as we have been discussing now for some time, is the convergence between all these different technologies, right? Like AI and blockchain and the convergence that is there that is massive. Quantum and blockchain, we did a hackathon a few months ago on quantum and blockchain with you guys, and the outcomes were fantastic. There are people that were there that they were not crypto people or they were not blockchain people, and they came with fantastic solutions. So I think having the chance of seeing this technology from different angles is going to be extremely important. And at the end of the day, what we want is top talent. Like that's the reality, right? So extremely excited.
Just think that this industry is a magnet for talent. It's a magnet for opportunity. It also is challenging and difficult. So, you know, as you think about how much can be done in a short period of time, there's also the question around longevity and, you know, people building for the long haul. And I think it's really important that we have those different disciplines that are contributing to the creation of the ecosystem, because frankly, each technology is part of a bigger mosaic picture of, you know, and if we are in fact in a another technology revolution, which I believe we are, you know, we've got to figure out how do things work together, how they work best together. How do you avoid, you know, integrating in ways that are less optimal than others? And frankly, it's a responsibility that I think we have as industry participants. So very exciting.
I fully agree with that. When I joined this ecosystem, I joined it because I saw that there was a big opportunity to solve real world problems. And that's what still excites me about it. Right? Like I want to solve problems and solve problems that they have not been solved yet. And that we have everything in our hands to just help solving. And for that, you say we need responsibility, but we need longevity. Like we really need to think about this industry on what it's going to be able to do in the next 10, 15, 50 years, right? Like unfortunately, as humans, we are pretty good at overestimating the short impact, but underestimating the long run. We see like probably nobody would ever consider what internet was going to bring to our lives right now. Who thought it was going to be doing absolutely everything with a mobile phone? Not many people probably when the internet was created, right? So I think we need to start looking at, okay, what realistically this technology is going to be able to do in the next 20, 30 years. And then if on top of that, you are doing implementations with AI, okay, where can we go? That's probably where we need to start looking at it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Alejandro. And frankly, I think we could keep discussing this for another hour and a half. But unfortunately, that's about all the time we have. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for a great conversation, Jason, Max. Thank you for your insightful questions. And everyone, go check out your local super team, see what is being built on Solana, and let's connect to the grassroots level.
Amazing, guys. Thank you very much for the opportunity. And super excited to have you at some point here in Dublin and invite everybody to Castle DAO. Take a look.
Definitely take a look. Thanks, everyone.
Crypto as an asset class is highly volatile, can become illiquid at any time, and is for investors with a high risk tolerance. Crypto may also be more susceptible to market manipulation than securities. Crypto is not insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation or the Securities Investor Protection Corporation. Investors in crypto do not benefit from the same regulatory protections applicable to registered securities. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. This podcast was produced by the Fidelity Center for Applied Technology, also known as FCAT. FCAT does not offer digital assets nor provide clearing or custody of such assets. It is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide tax, legal, insurance, or investment advice, and should not be construed as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for any security or other asset by any Fidelity entity or third party. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at the time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of the authors and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. Fidelity and any other third parties mentioned in the podcast are independent entities and are not affiliated. Mentioning them does not suggest a recommendation or endorsement by Fidelity. This information is not intended for distribution to or use by any person or entity in any jurisdiction or country where such distribution or use would be contrary to local law or regulation. Persons accessing this information are required to inform themselves about and observe such restrictions. Third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. All others are the property of FMR LLC. Copyright 2026 FMR LLC. All rights reserved. 1040156.